truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Wow, welcome everybody to the National Intel Report. I love that song every time. I like to play it all the way through because it is so real, isn't it? Hey, Steve Starr is here with you again today, and Steve Elkins is expected in. I think Rob James will be calling in. I'm just kind of holding down the fort and glad to be here. It's always a privilege, a pleasure, and an honor, friends. And, you know, again, do what you can right now to see if you can help the network. We want to keep it on the air. We're running a little short. I'm a volunteer, friends. I've never had a nickel. I think I've worked there for 7 years or something like that. But my pleasure, my payback is getting a chance to talk to you great people. And this is a great show. It's a great tradition. We got to keep it on the air, friends, because things are happening so fast right now. So I think, you know, we'll just kind of take it as it comes. You know, we think Rob will join us. Now, Steve Elkins is doing well, I think. I talked to him. He asked me if I'd sit in. I think he's got another appointment. He's going to get, I think, a clean bill of health, I hope. And he should be joining us, I think, a little bit later on. Of course, Rob will be joining in about hour number two. And meantime, we can talk about a lot of things. Of course, if you heard the show earlier that I did with Virginia Farber, we were talking about all of the new fangled 5G devices that are getting more intense all the time. Everybody, I think, knows a little bit about 5G that has listened to this network for a long time, and you know what's going on with this. We don't have to tell you most of it. This stuff is very dangerous, and it's going to get more dangerous as it appears. They are coming up with a brand new system of 5G antennas that look like clear plexiglass window coverings, and you just put them in your window, and these are actually antennas, so they're going to be right up next to your, you know, your workspace or your kitchen window where you're eating and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know how powerful they will be, but I think they're going to be the full voltage. They don't care. They're going to, you know, these people don't care that they're radiating you. The FDA has ignored all of our advice, but because this advice actually came from a Supreme Court ruling. And you heard what Virginia was talking about the last show, where she talked about how they actually won this case in the Ninth Circuit with RFK Jr., by the way, who is very well aware of this. Now, we can get into the political issues, of course, and we should, because that's what the National Intel Report is all about. You know that this Wednesday, the 20th, the people who think they own the world are going to be meeting together and deciding that the world is now going to follow their World Health Organization treaty. And because nobody objected, they assumed that, well, I guess that was a great idea because we're just helping people so much and no one really cares to put up any kind of adverse comment. Well, we should be doing that right now. You need to call your senators, actually. These are the ones that ratify these treaties, and congressmen people as well. And let them know, no, we don't want and need this treaty. The last one was a disaster. Do you remember? I mean, these people are so hungry to do the next step after the last disaster. You know, I don't want to wax really spiritual here at the beginning of the show, but isn't that just like Satan? He always overplays his hand. You know, the guy's an idiot. I mean, anybody who thinks he's smart is, you know, I think you're misled. He's suicidal is what he is. He is a loser. And he, but the only thing he can do is convince people with lies so that he can drag them down with him, because he's going down. That's what's going to happen. And this is why you ought to be paying close attention to what's happening here, because these people who run these things are deceived. They're deluded. They have nothing in the long run to gain. And all they're doing is going about killing their fellow man, which is a clear sign that they're on the wrong side of this issue. And they're not going to get away with it, because things are being recorded, not by the NSA, but by the heavenly record, friends. Every thought, every motive, every idle word. You know, it scares me. It really does. I got to try to line up with that as well. I'm not perfect, that's for sure. Man, I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for God's grace in my life, I wouldn't be here, really, seriously. And, you know, I want to tell you that if you're scared, just reach out your hand and let the Lord grab you by the wrist. Let him grab you. I want you to rely on his strength, not yours, okay? And just put your faith and confidence in him. You may not understand. Things may not get better right away. I don't know what to tell you, except for I just care for people. And I don't want you to be scared. Don't be afraid. Get out Psalm 91. It's called the Soldier's Psalm. The Soldier's Psalm. In World War II, Jimmy Stewart was flying bombing missions. I think he flew something like 22 of them, maybe a few more than that. The average lifespan of a flight commander was about 12 missions, so he got through all of them. His father told him when he went off into the Air Force and knew he was going to be flying overseas, he said, I want you to put this psalm in your pocket and carry it with you everywhere you go, Psalm 91. You know, he who makes the Lord his refuge and is hid in the hiding place of the Most High. And it talks about the plagues that come by night and the arrow that flies by day. You know, nothing shall come nigh you. And this is the soldier psalm. You need to pray that over your life and over your family, okay, right now. And do it every day. Some regiments were told to memorize the entire verse. And at any moment, the commander would say, I want you to read to me Psalm 92:5, or quote that from it. And even I'm not that good. I need to memorize it more. As you know, I've been reading it for many years. But I've heard stories. You know, there was a commander, a fellow who was a colonel, who was a pastor up in Alaska. This is a true story. And I don't have his name here handy, but the fellow has been on record. He's identified. And he was with the Army and special services, special forces, that is. And he was called to go into Afghanistan because they were suffering a lot of casualties there, and take a company there for about 18 months, I think it was, on active duty. And they wanted to see if they could cut back on some of these casualties. And he told his troops that you will read this psalm, and you will read it every day, and you'll confess it over your life. And you will stand under the security of Psalm 91. And he picked up his troops. They took him there to 18 months. For 18 months, when he came back, he called his friends and he told them, I'm back. Not one casualty, zero casualties after all that time. Nobody, I mean, people, you know, bump their heads, of course, or skin their knees or cut a finger or something like that on the job. That happens all the time anyway, but nothing related to a military casualty. And that means a wound, not just a death. But they came, all of his whole troops, the whole troops came back after all that time, not one casualty. Okay. So I'm going to tell you that is a weapon, friends. It's a weapon. And I don't know why I wanted to start out on that, but maybe I could. Somebody out there needs that. I need it. Okay. We are looking at some really serious stuff here. Had a friend also, a lady by the name of Siggy Oblander. You can find her on the internet. She grew up in Germany at the end of World War II, just a little girl, 4 or 5 years old. I don't remember how old she was, just maybe a little older than that. But they lived on the outskirts of Berlin. And the bombing raids took place at the end of the war, of course, even after the war to some extent as well. And, you know, her family had been there all that time, and they'd been hiding in the shelters to some extent. But what had happened is they'd gone into the shelter for the last time, and the bombing raids finally stopped, and they came up, and everyone was fine. And they'd gone through the whole war, and everybody had come through it. Now, they had some problems because they were very hungry at this point. You know, the German people nearly starved to death after World War II if it hadn't been for the Marshall Plan. Long story short, they convened with the people who had gone to their church. Now, these weren't Nazi people. You got to remember, Hitler only had about a third of the vote of Nazis in Germany, and that's all it took because he had the majority. So there were a lot of people in Germany who really weren't all that much into Hitler. They kind of got pulled into it like we've seen happen in nations like ours, you know, when people go along with these stupid things. Well, what happened was when she and her people came out of these bombing shelters, they were stepping over rubble and burns and bodies lying, you know, in the street. And it was pretty bad, pretty bleak. And it turned out that everybody, virtually everybody in their church was fine. Everybody. When this all happened. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why, again, I want you to put your faith in something bigger than you. Let him take care of you, and don't be afraid. Please, don't be afraid. I'm saying this to myself. I'm welling up a little bit here because we're in trouble. Friends, we're in trouble, you know. We're going to take some calls and, you know, let you sound off, and maybe we'll talk about a few things. There's so much to talk about. And we did discuss quite a bit of that earlier today on my show Lightspeed, which I really love doing. And I look forward to Mondays because of that show. I really do. But I'm glad to be with you here on the National Intel Report. I know you folks have been listening for a long, long time. And I just want you to be prepared. I want you to be put your confidence and your faith and get out that Psalm 91 and read it over you, your family, your life. If you have to pin it up on your refrigerator, name everybody under it. Do that. You know, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Not come nigh thee. And Jimmy Stewart came back at the end of the war, you know, unscathed. And the man suffered from PTSD, and most people didn't know that. And he, you know, because he'd flown all those missions, and you know, there was a lot of bad stuff. He'd seen some of his friends' planes go down. He, you know, witnessed a few things, and lucky enough himself that they took some flak, but no one got hurt or seriously injured in the plane. So it was an amazing story, and that is another testimony to Psalm 91. Get that over your head and over your life and over your spirit and everything like that. We've all got to just get ready for this, because these people mean bloody murder. And, you know, apparently our government doesn't have enough sense to stand up and right itself, which is why we have this imbecile as a president, this deviant imbecile. Now, I have been, as you probably, if you've listened, I've been talking to people about the impeachment, which I've been supporting very strongly. Now, you might go, oh, the impeachment, what good is that going to do? I understand your frustration. Really, I do. Especially when we saw two actually faulty and fraudulently launched impeachments against Trump. That went all that time, and there was nothing there. And it turns out, you know, the whole Steele dossier and everything they fabricated was treason. This was actually treason, what happened there. Nobody has ever really brought that out and said, look, why aren't these people paying for what they did? I think they should be, to be honest with you. I look at impeachment as a little bit like a duel, you know what I mean? Where two people face off, and one crowd says, we're going to impeach you, and the other crowd who's trying to resist impeachment says, no, you're not. Well, what happened here was these people took shot after shot at Trump. I think he owes them his rounds now. These people need to be held accountable. I heard Rand Paul, who I like, because he's coming after Fauci, but he was saying, well, the American people really don't need an impeachment. We don't want to turn this into a tit-for-tat. No, Paul, no, Rand, no. No, you don't get it. We don't do this because it's a tit-for-tat politics. You do it because it's the right thing to do. It's a thing that's necessary to be done. I don't care whether they lose it. I don't care whether it goes through. I think we can put enough pressure on these Democrats to force that old bugger out of office by resigning. I don't know whether, I think it should include Camila too, you know, and the rest of these people, Merrick Garland, Mayorkas, Christopher Wray. There's a lot of other people here as well. But, you know, I hear some things about the budget that they're talking about. I think the Republicans are balking on adding more funding to the Ukrainian war, which is a good sign. But they need to get back to this, and we need to start applying it. I've been calling my senators and congressmen. It is fun to call the Democrats. It really is, because, you see, now remember, I say, don't threaten people. No. Be nice. But call them up and just tell them, you know, I think the stench of Biden is really wearing on the whole party right now. What do you think? I mean, it's like he's making all of you really, really look bad. You know, I would suggest that maybe you could talk him into doing what Nixon did in 1974, which is resign. Wouldn't that be a better thing for everyone if he just kind of resigned? Because the Republicans are going to have fun holding this up. And you know what? The people are not going to be very happy with Biden because things keep getting worse all the time. You see, they're losing their jobs. They're losing their economy. Food prices are going up. They can't buy gasoline. They can't go to school. You want to lock them down again? Really? Yeah. You guys are really on a winning streak here. And even Democrats know they're in serious trouble, friends. Don't let them kid you. They are. I said, why don't you just talk him into resigning? Why don't you just get him to step down so you don't have to go through another mud splattering kind of revealing of you? Because you people are really, you bought into a real, real bad bum steer here. You know, I mean, you sucked down the sucker. That's bad, man. You know what I mean? That's how bad the whole thing is. So that is my opinion, of course. Now, it's pressure, friends. It's a pressure game. It's a pressure game. You know what? I'm going to look at my little pocket constitution here. And, you know, I could read the Declaration of Independence. You've all read it, I know. But to me, what is happening here is a little bit like the Stamp Act in 1765, I think it was, when the British Crown wanted everything of any paper value in terms of commerce had to have a stamp on it approved by the British Crown. That's kind of like the Federal Reserve demanding that they have to own all the money. Why is it that we can only have one currency that we have to use, and has to be the Federal Reserve? You know, why can't we have a number of different currencies? Why can't we have a gold-backed dollar from a bank? Well, that's starting to happen. There are people that are doing that. Yeah, I think you probably heard about what's going on in Texas and places like that. Yes, we can do that. I mean, of course, there is Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency market, which is a little shaky, but the truth is there's about over a trillion dollars in it right now. And the market is continuing to grow. Why do we have to have a CBDC, you know, central bank digital currency, when the people already figured out how to create one themselves for themselves? I think there's something like, well, I know there's around 6,000 bona fide cryptocurrencies, and I think the last time I saw it is like 1.8 million. People are creating their own cryptocurrencies all the time. You know, now, yeah, I know they're tokens mostly, and it's not very reliable. And yeah, there's some problems with it. But the people have already developed their own CBDC, not a central bank digital currency, but a digital currency that'll work right now without the banks. And now they're trying to get us to take theirs. Why? Because they want to control every transaction, everyone. Every transaction. That's the way this kind of thing works. You know, you end up with these people in charge of making sure you can't do anything unless they're a party to it. Well, that's a direct violation of privacy, in my opinion, and the Constitution. The Bible, not the Bible, but the Constitution says Congress shall, Congress shall obtain the right or hold the right to coin money and establish the value thereof. It doesn't give a private bank that ability. And these private banks, and you know what? If you're not using U.S. dollars or the U.S. Reserve notes, you know, the Federal Reserve notes acronym is Federal Reserve Annual Unit of Debt. That's what a dollar is, a Federal Reserve Annual Unit of Debt. Acronym, fraud. These bankers think they're so cute, don't they? I mean, they know it's a fraud. And so why is it that we are forced to use their currency? We heard stories today that Argentina is dropping their own currency to go to the American dollar. Well, why is that? You know, well, they don't want to have to rely on their own currency, and they're going to use the dollar, not necessarily full time, but as an alternative. You go to Mexico, you can take dollars down there. They'll take your dollar. You know, they'd be glad to take your dollar. When I used to go there years ago, one of the most active jobs that was down there were guys repainting signs, you know. Cerveza, 3,500 pesos. Cerveza, 3,700 pesos. You know, every other day, the peso was dropping in value, and they had to repaint the signs. All right, we're coming back, friends. Get yourself a cerveza or a cup of coffee or something. Stay with us right here on the National Intel Report on RBN.
RepublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
States. With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Glad to be back with you, friends, on the National Intel Report. Steve Starr sitting in for Steve Elkins, who is getting his clean bill of health, I believe. I hope so. He's a good friend of mine, and we've been hanging around and doing shows together for a long time. And, we stay kind of in touch. And, I know he's been through a lot, but he's back and he's ticking. And hopefully he'll be joining us in this show. And, of course, Rob James will be joining us a little bit later, too. So we'll be looking forward to that. And maybe in the meantime, I'll be taking some calls. But, man, you don't have to worry about me talking, okay, because I got plenty to say. I was talking about the Stamp Act You know, when the British Crown demanded virtually everything that was on paper have their stamp on it, right? Well, that went for a little while. It didn't work out very good, and it did stir some people up, of course, Ben Franklin and many others. And this is actually what started things, people starting to think, why are we relying on these people overseas to control our destiny and our finances and our money, and why can't we just do what we want to do with our own trade agreements? That is a little bit of what you call freedom. That's how it works, okay? But we were conned into this stupid thing called the Federal Reserve Act many, many years ago that is in violation of the Constitution, where it says Congress shall have the right to coin money, not a Federal Reserve Bank that isn't federal and it isn't reserve, it's private, not a private bank that won't even be audited. Now, remember, Ron Paul put together a very good effort to what we were going to call audit the Fed, or, you know, look at it. I think it was the first step towards repealing the Fed. But we had, you know, Ron Paul was very, very energetic and that very knowledgeable, of course. And we passed H.R. 1207, I think, in 2007, and it was tabled by the Senate. Then we came up with 1208, I think it was, the next year. And we came back again, a bigger majority in the Congress passed this. That also was tabled or got lost somehow. I don't remember what happened to that one. Then finally, the third time, and at this point, I don't remember how many congressional people were on board with auditing the Fed. They passed that bill the third time. I mean, it was something like 380 congressional people out of 435, a very, very large majority of both parties in Congress who wanted to audit the Fed. But it got tabled in the Senate. Of course, all the Democrats voted against it. And there was just a scant number of Republicans, but the Republicans failed by even some Republicans waffled. Now, I'm going to talk about that a little bit, Republicans waffling. All right, that is a real serious problem, because here in Colorado, where I live, we got one really badass. That's a bad expression because it almost sounds like a good person, but I mean a bad apple. Let's call him that, Ken Buck. You know, who came on like he was a real conservative a few years ago, even wrote a book called Drain the Swamp. But he is totally sold out. I mean, he's making up all kinds of excuses for not doing the right thing. You know, he's straining at gnats and swallowing camels. This is the mark of how these people operate. I might even read that out of Matthew chapter 23. What is it when somebody strains at gnats and swallows camels? It means that they're using little petty excuses not to do the right thing. And he's been doing that, and I've been telling people to call. I've been calling his office, and of course I'm on a radio station out here, and every time I get on, you know, as I said before, don't threaten them, but be authoritative. You're the one that's the boss. They work for us. They're supposed to be working for us, and we need that. Anyhow, my point is simply this: getting back to the Stamp Act, as we progressed over the years, there were a number of people who were getting together and were tired of the British troops. And of course, you know about Lexington and Concord. These happened before the Declaration of Independence, I believe it was, if I'm correct. I know there were people who were actually fighting British troops before the Declaration of Independence. Now, did the Declaration of Independence create a nation? Well, let's put it this way. It created an idea that could create a nation. There was still a lot of work to do, right? What we have to have right now is a declaration against what is going on here. That's why I favor the impeachment, friends. It's not about winning. It's about identification. It's about looking at who we are and what we expect and what we're tired of, and that these criminals are being held accountable. That's the most important part about it. Get your ideologically, your whole plan, your thinking, your processes in order, and then present that. If you read the Declaration of Independence, I think it has something like 23 grievances in here. I could probably thumb through it. I'll let you read it for yourself. But, I mean, they tell you the reason why they want the Declaration of Independence. It's not – I'll read a few of these, okay? He's talking about the king. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies. Remember about standing armies? Without the consent of the legislature. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. Okay, these are the kinds of things we need to spell out. This has to be spelled out if we're going to make progress, is what I'm saying. This is why it's important. This is why we need to support it. All righty, some music coming up. We got the mid-break here, and I'll be back right after, so stay tuned. Get yourself another cup of coffee or a cup of tea or a cerveza or whatever, but don't go away. Do not go away.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
HempPaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at RepublicBroadcasting.org and visit HempPaste.com/RBN.
There's a man with a
Great tune. Buffalo Springfield. I actually play that one on my guitar. That is a good one, man, because, you know, I like the line where paranoia strikes deep into your heart. It will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line. The man comes and takes you away. Friends, we can't be afraid of this. We got to just take it on. And it's time to confront these people that are out of control. They are losing it all over the world. I mean, what's her name? Christine Anderson, the MP in Germany. She's really calling them out. There's people all over the world. And, of course, you saw what happened with the G20 summit when both Russia and China didn't show up. You know, I mean, the whole thing's crumbling apart. They're out of money, and they can't keep running things. And to be as stupid as they are, they shut down the economy as they're running out of money, thinking they're going to make it work. You know, this is how bad these people really are. You know, I mean, they're absolutely chaotically monkey brain, monkey other stuff minded, and they have no way of making things work and can't hold it together for very long. They're dumber than Joe Biden, who's dumber than a box of rocks, friends. I mean, it's amazing that we've allowed this. Now, when I was talking about what before, I was saying that, you know, the Declaration of Independence really outlined the problems. I was going through some of those grievances. I could have read them all, of course, and you can read them yourself, but I think they listed, I don't know what it was, 23, 24, something. I have to review that myself. But they laid out a plan. They said, look, this is what's wrong here. We can't put up with this any longer. And that's what we have to do. I mean, I know that I've been trying to see some leadership from the constitutional sheriffs and police officers at CSPOA.org. Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers .org. That is Sheriff Mack's organization. And I'd like to see some organization among sheriffs around the country. I like that sheriff in Arizona who stood up to the governor on the gun grab and her plan, you know, to basically try to put everybody under her thumb. That didn't go very far. And it will happen the same way in Colorado, even though this is a liberal state. We got a lot of idiots in Denver, Fort Collins, Boulder, and some of the larger cities, Aspen, of course. But actually, I think it was something like out of 64 counties when the governor tried to enforce his red flag law here, I think we had 51 sheriffs that said we will not comply or enforce it. 51 sheriffs out of 64 or something like that. I mean, you get out of the red counties out there, you look who owns the real estate. You know what I mean? Who used to own it? They're going to tell you that Bill Gates owns it now. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. We had a really great guest on our station at 1360, Bill Roberts, who is a grass-fed ranching guy. I mean, he works with big corporations and big, not just really corporations, not even corporate farmers, really, independent producers who grass feed their cattle. And I'll tell you, the price for the price of gas is going up, but the price of grass-fed beef is going up quite a bit, too. People are really after it now. You hear about that on some of our advertisers and things like that. These are the people who are going to make it happen. Well, we can pull together right now. We can pull together because we own most of the real estate here. We really do. I mean, these people think they own it, but their tax system is definitely something that should have been fixed. Now, like I said before, it's not up to the election in 2025. By that, I say that's the earliest it'll have any effect, friends. 2025. You got two Christmases to go through before anybody else is going to be in the White House. Okay, and so I'm trying to say, when I count to three, you will wake up and realize that today is the day that you're alive, and 2024 is only a dream that probably will go very sour the way things are headed now. You know, one, two, three, snap my fingers. Friends, you guys, we got to realize we're here now. We don't have time to wait for another faulty and broken election to fix things, okay? As you know, I'm a Trump person who wants to see Trump succeed, but I've also been very honest about his failures. If you listened to this network, you probably have. Back in 2015, Etheric Dave and I were on a show called, it was called Lightspeed, actually. And we were doing shows about 4 days a week. And we were telling people that Trump needed to get rid of Fauci day one. This was before he even had the delegates to be the candidate in 2015. I know I've said this before, and I don't want to be redundant, but God, over and over and over and over and over and over. I mean, there's nothing worse than telling people what is coming, and then when you see it, you have to live it again because it's heartbreaking, friends. But we were telling people back then, Trump needs to get rid of Fauci. Recently, Trump said, well, I can't get rid of him because he's a civil servant. The man's a criminal. He's a maniac. He's a Nuremberg mass murderer. It's like I've said before, the guy may be, if he was a hatchet murderer and going around killing 10 people a day, you'd say, I can't fire him because he's a civil servant. No. He should have been arrested a long time ago, to be really honest with you. But Trump wasn't listening to people like us in the beginning. There were a lot of us, too, by the way. Scott Atlas from the Hoover Institution was there. We have a group. If you go to RethinkingAIDS.com, RethinkingAIDS.com, you'll see or I think is it .org? Maybe it's .com. I can't remember. But you will see Tom DeFernando, who's taken over the lead there now recently, a good friend of mine. We had Tom on the station, on the network here, if you recall, me and Steve. And gosh, we did like 3 hours, I think, together. Great guy. But he's stepped up to take over. And, of course, the website is out of date. A lot of our people have been passing away. I mean, Kerry Mullis, if you know who he is, and the PCR, you know, one of our close associates. We had actually three Nobel Prize winners on our crew at that time. Barbara McClintock, who was the one who basically did so much work in cell genetics and meiosis and mitosis, and she was discredited for so long, and they finally realized she was right. Then they gave her the Nobel, which was justly awarded. Sometimes the Nobel Prize is both a princess and a prostitute, friends. You know, certainly Obama didn't deserve one, right? But and then also Walter Gilbert, who was a chemist from Harvard. But we had a lot of great doctors, and we still do, physicians, people like that. So Trump had a pick, really, of a lot of great people that he could have had and brought in. And you would think that the most important position that he needed to fill right off the bat was the Secretary of Health and Human Services, not a ditz like Margaret Heckler, and not a Yale-trained attorney. And I said this earlier on the show today, and I don't want to go over it again, but Alex Azar was certainly not the person to head Health and Human Services. So, I mean, he made some bad moves from the very start. I think Trump's biggest downfall was bad influence, to be honest with you. It got Samson, didn't it? But yeah, it sure did. I remember him shorn without his eyes and pushing the millstone around? The man who was going to deliver Israel, now in the basement being laughed at and scorned. Well, he got his revenge in the end, okay? But it cost him everything. King David made the same mistake, bad influence. He was provoked by Satan to number Israel. It brought a curse down. Everybody told him, Joab, his top general, everybody said, don't do this. Don't do this. He did it anyway. And it brought a curse down on Israel. But David was smart enough to realize he was in trouble fast. And he got on his knees before God. And he said, I have sinned and acted foolishly. And you know what David said? I was the one that made the mistake. 70,000 people just dropped dead with this plague. Take me and my father's house, but spare these sheep. And God heard that prayer. He said, I want you to take 7 lambs and offer them before the Lord, and I'll put a stay and a stop to this plague. And God fixed it, okay? If Trump would get out of his, you know, his Trump brand sales tactic and get honest with us, God would bless him, I believe. I seriously believe that. A man who covers his sins shall not prosper. He who covers his sins shall not prosper, friends. And Trump may be going to jail. Might do him some good, friends. I'm sorry to tell you that. I know a lot of people. I feel for you. I do too. You know, how do you, I mean, it hurts me. Don't think I'm trying to. I don't dislike Trump. I've been wanting to see him succeed, but I've been watching him make mistake after mistake after mistake, friends. And you can't do this. You've got to be really attentive to what you're doing. I mean, King Solomon had all this money, this wealth, and even God-given wisdom. And look what happened to him. Bad influence. Bad influence. So Trump had Jared Kushner. He had all these other people with dollar signs in their eyes, and they got him hypnotized, and he fell into the trap. And I don't know how he's going to get out of it. I really don't. You know, but I think the way out of this is to humble himself and get honest. He's still trying to cover for reasons why he didn't get rid of Fauci. And I don't buy it at all, at all. He should have never let him in there. He should have gotten rid of him day one. If he'd have been listening to people who knew what they were doing. Health and Human Services, after Obamacare, we needed somebody who really had smarts. I don't know if it would have been able to work out. But, you know, the guy that probably should have handled that would have been a doctor by the name of, Ron Paul. Yeah, there's a guy that nobody would have liked that, I'm sure. You know what I mean? But there's a guy who would have cut the crap and the bacon and everything else out of that mess and that disaster over there in Health and Human Services, or somebody like him. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr. is much more aware of this. The man is facing a bullet. As you know, he is. Why would he be worried about somebody shooting him? After all, didn't they shoot his father and his uncle? Yeah, he knows what's going on. You saw this creepy fed guy, this spook that attended, was dressed up as a marshal. They're armed. I mean, these people are coming after him, and Biden is not granting him any Secret Service, which may be just as well because these people are dirty. But the point I'm getting at is this. We're going to have people in these positions who can do the job, not panty waist Jeff Sessions, not deputy dog dumbass Bill Barr. You know, you can't have these kinds of people. And Rudy Giuliani needs to be flushed, too. You know, can you imagine? I mean, when they had the Trump witch hunt, they got Robert Mueller appointed head of the FBI 7 days before 9/11. Oh, well, he's a real clean slate, isn't he? You know, God, what a criminal. I mean, there's a book called The Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order, that was written by a Dixiecrat down in Louisiana that's pretty honest about all the bad things. Then there was Amendment 91, or not Amendment 91, Uranium 91, that's right. Wasn't it Uranium 91? The whole deal with Hillary Clinton, where he was on the tarmac helping them, Hillary, sell all this uranium to the Russians. Yeah, the Russiagate. Yeah, right. So this guy should have never been in that position. Trump should have seized on that opportunity. He could have, you know, and he could have said, well, you know, Bob Mueller, people call him Mueller. I don't call him Mueller because he's not mulling anything over. He's a mule. He's a dumbass Mueller. Well, Bob, you know, amendment. Let's see. Uranium 9/11. Oh, excuse me. What were we talking about? Oh, 9/11, anthrax, Pan Am 103, all of the HSBC. He has a whole dirty list of things that should have been brought up, friends. But instead, he gets Rudy Giuliani, who was the mayor of New York City when 9/11 happens, to deal with it. I mean, come on. You got to be. If you're telling me that Trump's got a lot of smarts, I'm telling you, I don't think he's really got it, friends. I mean, that's, you know, how would he let these people in there? Some people said, well, I think he's one of them. Man, I think he's got good intentions. I'm going to say that. But I don't judge his heart, but I can tell you his picks have been horrible. So here we are, okay? But we got to call upon ourselves, we the people. We have an opportunity to put pressure on Congress about this World Health Organization bill. We need to do it. We have right now the ability to put pressure on the Republican Party to get this impeachment underway. Now, I was going to say something about the impeachment based on history. I know a lot of folks like to listen to history because we learn things from history. John F. Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. And one of the people that he featured was a fellow by the name of Edmund Ross, who was a Republican, who was the one vote that kept Andrew Johnson from being impeached. Now, being thrown out of office, impeachment means the hearings. The being removed is the latter part of the impeachment. So he was Johnson was saved by one vote, okay, Andrew Johnson. Now, having studied the Lincoln assassination for a long time, I looked into a lot of things. I had his handwriting analyzed by a professional CBI, Colorado Bureau of Investigation, graphical analysis. A grand man, really, by the way. He, an older gentleman who also had questions about the Kennedy assassination and things like that. I actually had a friend that was the guy that was writing on the back of the limousine. A good fella, and he had questions, and he was always interested in these things. He didn't have any special stake in preserving, you know, a state job. He was retiring. He took a look at all the handwriting that I had of John Wilkes Booth and confirmed that, yes, John Wilkes Booth Booth did write the diary. That's his hand. John Wilkes Booth did write the letters that we talked about. That's his handwriting. He can tell by the mechanics. And yes, John Wilkes Booth wrote on the back of a calling card that he left for Andrew Johnson on the day of the assassination, just hours before he shot Lincoln. It says, "Don't wish to disturb you. Are you in? John Wilkes Booth." And it has kind of a squiggly sort of an eye kind of design on it, too. Very strange, huh? Why is Johnson being called upon by John Wilkes Booth? And one of his partners, Azarot, was living above Johnson in the National Hotel there. Azarot hung, by the way, with the conspirators because he didn't kill Johnson for some reason. He said he chickened out. Really? Really? I think he provided Johnson an excuse is what happened there. Johnson was involved in the assassination, friends. I believe he was. I think Stanton knew this. That's why he removed 18 pages of the diary and he put all the prisoners in dry tortugas wearing these masks. They couldn't talk to anybody while they were there. They had to put these huge canvas masks on them in the searing heat. It was a nightmare the way he treated those guys. Some people say, think Stanton was a bad guy. I am inclined to agree, but at the same time, I think what happened was Stanton realized what was going on. He knew there was a plot underway, and it was an inside job. It was an inside job, friends, and Andrew Johnson was a party to it. I think he knew that. That's why he barricaded himself in his office in the War Department. He wouldn't leave it. Johnson was trying to get rid of him, but Stanton wasn't budging because I'm not going to let this son of a bitch take over. He was there trying to watch it. He wasn't going to blow the whole thing open because we just had 4 years of cruel civil war. And he said, we can't open up that blister again. We've got to let the country heal. Well, we'll get back to that. And I'll tell you the rest of the story about the impeachment, because there's more to it here. A lot more. Stay with us right here on the National Intel Report. Right after this break, we will continue.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome back to the Rush Limbaugh Show. That's his old theme. You remember that, Pretenders? No, it's not Rush Limbaugh, friends. Steve Starr is here with you on the National Intel Report, and I'm glad to be here for, well, a few more minutes and maybe be joined by Rob James. I think he's coming up next, and we'll see if, you know what happens, and maybe we can take a different direction, and so you can listen to somebody else for a change. I think you might like that, but I want to finish up the story. Okay. Edmund Ross was the Republican that swing vote, and there were other Republicans, but he was the one that was singled out. And Thaddeus Stevens, who was the Secretary of State at that time, and the people there, the Republicans, were trying to get him to vote for the impeachment. He said, we got to do it. Now, his question was this. This is what he was saying. But if we do this, how will it affect the presidency for years to come? How will this affect the presidency? The presidency. No, this guy isn't a king. You know, he doesn't have a divine right. He's a bad manager, you know. And even Stephen said, you know, the Tenure Act, where they were trying to remove Stanton, really wasn't very strong in terms of, you know, an argument against Johnson. They were holding back a lot of the really bad stuff. Well, what is happening right now? We're talking about Hunter Biden and not the old man. You know what I mean? Have you noticed what's happening? The same stuff here. And even people like Rand Paul had said, well, we don't want to be like Peru and change a government, or, you know, in Great Britain, when every time a new party comes in, they have to change prime ministers. I got to have the president has to be seated and secure. I don't think so, friends. Now, his statement there, if you watch that up on YouTube, you can see it. Profiles in Courage. Profiles in Courage. It's actually from President Kennedy, or John F. Kennedy's book, before he was elected. And they do these pieces on some of the people that he talked about in his book. And this guy, Edmund Ross, who was this Republican, he was a famous or a brilliant a Union officer. He's from Kansas, too. And they couldn't convince him to vote against the final vote that would have removed Andrew Johnson from office. He wouldn't do it. Now, Kennedy writes him up as a hero. You know, I think he really blew it myself. I think if you listen to what Kennedy said and then take advantage of what I'm telling you right now, they should have pulled that son of a bitch out of power, friends. They should have done it. They should have done it. We need to get these people removed when they're that bad. Bill Clinton escaped impeachment because nobody knew about him selling the secrets to China. It was all about Monica Gate. You notice what's happening here? Everything is the same. I hope this is connecting. Maybe you're kind of getting it. What I'm seeing here is like a deja vu. We are allowing the president to sit in the office. And even though he wasn't elected, friends, I think most of us know that the statistics are plain. I've been saying that for a long time. Look at the film Fraction Magic by Bev Harris on blackboxvoting.org. You can see Dominion was involved in that Smartmatic stuff way, way back. So was ES&S buying that faulty software and the whole scam. We've been robbed. We've been robbed. And they're letting this son of a bitch, this dog, sit upon the throne of Denmark, as Hamlet says. I mean, how can this go on? Well, what was going on at the same time there, and one vote kept Andrew Johnson in office. And, you know, of course, they said this was a tradition that preserved the presidency. Now, I want you to think about this. A man named Johnson behind Lincoln, okay? And years later, John F. Kennedy and a man named Johnson behind him. Johnson. Think about it. You want to talk about POS? Yes. You want to talk about George W. Bush? George H. Walker? Do you think we need to preserve the presidency that much? Be back after the break. Send it abroad. We'll be right back.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.